Catherine, it's always so hard to follow you. I think people want you to keep playing, and they want me to stay seated. I'd like to invite you to turn to today's New Testament reading, which is Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. As always, you're welcome to take your own Bible or device, or you can take a pew Bible from in front of you, or you can simply listen as I read these words from Mark chapter 11. This is Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They told him what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The most difficult dates for me to preach on are days such as Christmas Eve, Christmas, Palm Sunday, and Easter. Now you may be thinking, "Jeremy, aren't you fired up for these days and you're ready just to bring the message more than any other time of year?" Well, yes, that is true, but where the difficulty comes in is that we preach a text that we look at every single year. And sometimes we even touch on throughout the year, such as passages regarding the cross or the resurrection. And so it is difficult to come back to the same text year after year and to find some new insight. Okay, that's tough. That's something you may not know about preachers, but I think I share that with some other preachers as well, that sentiment. It's not like we don't like to preach on Palm Sunday, or we don't like to preach the story of the cross, or we don't like to preach the Easter story. We do. It's just that we say, okay, what new can I say about it this year? Because we have to wait 3 years before we can repeat a sermon. I promise, I haven't repeated one since I've been here. You might say, "Jeremy, I don't even remember last week." You could probably get away with it. I don't remember last week either, but I'm still not going to repeat the sermon, at least for a while. At least for a while. And so here we are again. It's Palm Sunday, and we're talking about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Today we have sung about it. We've heard it read in the scriptures. We've prayed about it. We come here every year, the Sunday before Easter, to celebrate Jesus' entrance into the holy city of Jerusalem, a significant moment in his ministry. And yet I'm also preaching from the book of Mark. I told you it's difficult to preach on certain days of the year, but I find it most difficult sometimes to preach from the book of Mark. And the reason is, Mark is kind of like a quick action story. It's short little stories and passages of what Jesus does without a lot of Jesus talking. A lot of it is just actions. Some of them are long and can be expounded upon, but a lot of times they're just recounting what Jesus did. It's an important part of the story, but then to preach on it, to look for words of Jesus to expound upon, well, it's not here other than Jesus telling them to get a colt and then telling his disciples just to say, "Well, the Lord told you to get it." It's kind of an anticlimactic passage here in Mark. I don't mean that out of disrespect, but it's a quick passage. It's almost like if you were telling someone about your day and you say, "Well, I got up this morning, I got my clothes on, I went to the store to buy some groceries, and I saw a friend there, and I told him that I liked what he did last Sunday in the sermon." That's kind of what it feels like. And I kind of ask myself, what new is there to say about this passage that we haven't already heard? And I did find something that we will get to here momentarily. But in a quick recount, the story of Palm Sunday brings us to this time when Jesus is preparing to enter the holy city. And depending on which gospel you read, Jesus instructs his disciples to go get a colt or perhaps two animals for him to ride in. And the people with Jesus threw their cloaks on the ground and waved palm branches to signify the kingship and the lordship of Christ, signifying in a very symbolic but real way that Jesus is entering the holy city in the same manner as the kings of old, in the same manner as David, that the crowned Messiah is entering the holy city to ascend the throne. They threw their cloaks on the ground as a symbol of respect and on the colt. They waved those palm branches. They shouted, "Hosanna," which means "save us" or "save us, Lord." And then Jesus gets to Jerusalem, looks around, and you know what he does next? He walks out. That's the part I hadn't really thought about before, but we'll get back to that momentarily. Jesus rides into the city, this victory parade, people treating him as a king or as an emperor, and then Jesus gets there, looks around, and leaves. We'll come back to that. Where the meaning of Palm Sunday comes in a classic or traditional sense, is that the waving of these palm branches was mimicking the cultural practice of celebrating a royal figure's military conquest or victory. Jesus was not the first figure to have palm branches waved at him. It would have been a normal, natural practice for the people of the city to wave palm branches in celebration of a military victory of their king or leader. And so Jesus' people were using this worldly symbol to show to Jesus that they saw him as the victor, as the Messiah. No, Jesus had not just been in battle in the traditional sense or in the literal sense, but they were waving these palm branches in victory. And they were doing it in many ways out of protest, saying Caesar or Pilate is not king, but Jesus is king. It's a very subversive and yet also outward political act that would have caught some attention. They were saying these words, "Hosanna, save us," affirming that Jesus is the one who saves. It makes for a story that ties the entirety of Jesus' life together. These mysteries and these short sayings and passages and miracles and parables and teachings that alluded to Jesus being king, this was the culmination of that story, of the people saying, "Yes, Jesus is king, and we will follow you into the city." Now, this whole Palm Sunday celebration, believe it or not, it seems pretty straightforward, but it's actually a mixture of irony, a catch-22. Because Jesus, as he was riding into the city, and I think as we can gather from reading the various texts of Palm Sunday, he saw that the people knew he was king, that they affirmed him as king, but that they only saw part of the picture. They were right in proclaiming Jesus would be king. They were right on there. But they were thinking in worldly ideas and worldly realities. In other words, as they were waving their palm branches and as they were laying their cloaks out and going with Jesus into the city, they were still expecting Jesus to ascend the throne in a manner similar to David, or perhaps even a manner similar to Caesar. They were expecting Jesus, or perhaps hoping in some way, that Jesus would ascend this throne in a worldly way. So maybe Jesus would somehow acquire a lot of wealth and ascend the throne. Or maybe Jesus with his followers would ascend the throne with military power or influence. They were expecting Jesus to enter this holy city, guns blazing, ready to ascend the kingdom of the world. And I kind of wonder, when Jesus arrived in the holy city and looked around and departed, I wonder if that's when he reached his breaking point. I wonder if when Jesus walked through the cloaks and saw the palm branches and looked around at the people in Jerusalem, I wonder if there was a moment where he said, this can't continue. They've got it all wrong. And so he goes back out because he says, this isn't quite what I'm getting at. I sometimes wonder if Jesus could no longer tolerate this view of him as just another king in a long line of kings. And I wonder if in this moment Jesus knew that it was time. Not that he hadn't been ministering already, but now it was time to get bold and explicit about where he was going, about what following Jesus and what this new kingdom was all about. I wonder if Jesus knew in that moment. Because Jesus did come back. Yeah, we see that Jesus came back the next day. But do you know how he returned? Did you see in the passage afterwards, if you looked ahead, what's the first thing that Jesus did when he came back into Jerusalem? He overturned the tables in Jerusalem. He overturned the tables in the temple. By the way, he cursed a fig tree on his way in. And so Jesus was in many ways not in a good place. But he then walked into that table and flipped tables and said, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, and you've made it into a den of robbers. And I would argue that this entrance into Jerusalem, this second entrance that we don't pay as much attention to, may have caused bigger waves than that previous day. I would argue that this second entrance into Jerusalem set into motion events towards Good Friday. I would argue that though Jesus' primary entrance into Jerusalem with the cloaks and the palm branches and the colts, it meant something, it showed something. But I wonder if when Jesus came back in, that was sort of Jesus' way of saying, now I mean business. Because he came into Jerusalem and he showed that the king is here, but that the king is here to establish a new rule regarding wealth and economy and religion. The king came into the holy city and said he was here to subvert and challenge the religious authorities and not to be in cahoots with them to have power over the little people. The king entered the city and came into the city and talked about building a kingdom on the basis of loving God and loving neighbor. Not a kingdom based on who your family is or how much wealth you have or what kind of influence that you have. A kingdom based on loving God and loving others as yourself. You see, I think this is the king that the people still didn't grasp. The people still didn't get it. They were getting there. They had seen Jesus perform miracles and show and share the truths of the kingdom. But on that Palm Sunday, they may not have quite understood exactly what they were asking for. Christ followers, I would say that each one of us today who call Jesus Lord also proclaim him as King. Amen? Amen. We wave the palm branches, we lay our best garments out, and we shout, Hosanna, save us. We do this alongside the people who walked into the city with them. But I ask you this now. Is the Jesus that rides into your life the one that will give you wealth and prosperity and power, the one that the religious zealots wanted to see? Or do we need Jesus, perhaps on a daily basis, to burst back into our lives with a new challenge, one that truly shakes us up and one that makes us uncomfortable? See, every year on Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter, we have a routine, a regular season to celebrate who Jesus is. And that's a good thing. But I think also at this time, we should remember that when Jesus rides into the holy city, we are to be surprised and shaken every year. This is not just recounting an event from the Bible. It calls us and it reminds us that every year on this Palm Sunday, we worship a king who surprises us and who doesn't go along with what the rest of the world's doing. He's doing something different. And not just different, but perhaps even challenging or inconvenient for us and for our own personal kingdoms. We should remember that when Jesus enters our lives, Jesus comforts us when we are afflicted, but that he also afflicts us when we become comfortable. Church, if we are the presence of Christ in Black Mountain, in some ways we are Jesus riding into this city. When we come into this place, we're going back out into our city, riding back into our neighborhoods, being the presence of Christ. We are the people proclaiming his kingship and lordship over our lives in our cities. And so I want to take a little liberty with the application of this passage and the questions that we have today for Palm Sunday. First Baptist Church, as the presence of Christ, we in some ways rode into this city over 100 years ago. Along with other churches and those who had come before us, we were the presence of Christ coming into this place. And over that time, we have shown to this city mercy and grace and compassion in the name of Christ, and we will continue to do so. But I ask you, as people bearing the image of Christ, is it time for us to re-enter in bold new ways? Is it time for us to go back into this neighborhood, back into this city, and to proclaim with more boldness and more courage and more grace and more compassion what it means for us to call Jesus Lord? Is it time to gather ourselves and present a clearer, more challenging image of Christ? I think that's the challenge that Jesus is giving all churches. But I think we would do well as First Baptist Church to think, how can we go back into our homes and our places of work and our schools? And how can we be this Jesus who re-enters the city? Yes, we celebrate Palm Sunday and we speak and affirm that Jesus is King. It doesn't invalidate Jesus' first entrance into the city. But we should be reminded that sometimes we need to go out, clear our heads, and come back into the city with a new commitment and a new way forward. And boy, do we need it now, because the world around us is changing quickly. We must continue to pray and ask for God's Spirit as we seek to be the presence of Christ to those around us. Yes, we're looking at Palm Sunday again. This Friday here at First Baptist Church, we will host community churches for a Good Friday service at noon, and I hope and pray that you will be here for that. It will once again be a routine, something we do every year, and then a week from today is Resurrection Sunday. Some of you may be celebrating your 50th, 60th, 80th, 90th Easter Sunday. And how great is that? But let's not make it routine. Let's not come into this place just expecting to hear a story that we've heard every year. Let's not come into this place just simply expecting to sing songs that we know we're going to sing every Easter Sunday. But let's come back into this place and understand that Jesus is calling us to something new here and now. Today, it's the way that we call Jesus Lord and what we expect. On Friday, Jesus is calling us to new ways of sacrifice and new ways of carrying our cross. And then a week from today, as we celebrate the empty tomb, Jesus is calling for us to show the world hope in new ways and to present the empty tomb in ways that are going to change our world. And so I simply ask you to meditate and to sit on this truth as you go forth today. This is Holy Week for a reason. We celebrate these events and we observe these events from the Scripture in the height of Jesus' ministry, and it's what brings our faith all together. Hearing these passages will be routine, but I think the Spirit is prepared to teach us something new. Let's pray together.